track 8. And now we come to letters to the editor. And there are three this week. Simple taxing could raise more, writes Dillis Morgan via email. Most people now accept taxing wealth is necessary. Campaigners like Gary Stevenson, Richard Murphy, and recently Zach Polensky have spent years pushing the issue into the mainstream. Meanwhile, rising inequality leaves millions struggling to stay housed, fed, and warm. In the UK, the wealthiest 1% of families own more than the bottom 50%. That's plain wrong. Anyone who searches tax avoidance online can see how the wealthy legally avoid tax. Paying little or none is considered normal by shifting profits to low tax places, taking income as shares rather than salary, and the buy, borrow and die model, where rising asset values are never taxed and are passed on at death without capital gains liability. This behaviour is widespread and amounts to legalised fraud. The problem has been identified for years, yet little has been done. Is that because wealthy people resist what doesn't benefit them? The Green Party proposes a modest wealth tax, 1% on wealth above £10 million and 2% above £1 billion, raising an estimated £15 billion a year. Patriotic millionaires argue for 2% above 10 million, raising around 22 billion. To the very wealthy, this is small change, yet they fight it fiercely. Richard Murphy argues that faster, simpler measures could raise far more. 2026 could be the year this blatant injustice is tackled. So Christmas 2026 is better for those who create wealth through work rather than those who use tricks to avoid tax on assets and hoard wealth. Murphy's report is a clear roadmap, and I hope campaigners and political leaders align around it.
Mike Baldwin from Thorverton writes, "Climate change starts at the next meal." Farmers know that food security has been put at risk, not by environmental policies, but by the effects of climate change. The 2021 UK Food Security Report stated, "Climate change poses a risk to UK food production already, and this risk will grow substantially over the next 30 to 60 years." 2 years ago, the NFU reported, "Climate change is arguably the greatest challenge facing the stability and long-term sustainability of global food production, and British farmers increasingly frequent weather extremes." At the recent National Emergency Briefing on Climate and the Environment, Professor Peter Behrens from Oxford University warned that the climate and ecological crisis have become immediate threats to national stability, food security, and economic well-being. He stated that three of the five worst cereal harvests on record have occurred this decade in Britain, and reported over 80% of UK farmers now see climate change as a serious threat to livelihoods. This year's summer drought alone cost the UK arable farmers over £800 million. Professor Behrens cited the National Food Strategy from 2021, which detailed the existing inefficient way we use land in calorie terms. It shows 85% of farmland that feeds the UK, both here and abroad, is used to rear animals, even though this produces only 32% of our calories. Whereas the other 15% of farmland growing plant crops for human consumption provides 68% of our calories. Agriculture accounts for 10% of the UK's total greenhouse gas emissions, 62% of which produced by methane and nitrous oxide from all for the great food transformation to a plant-rich diet. He stated that this would reduce the risks of chronic diseases, including obesity, strokes, cancer, heart disease and diabetes, saving the NHS millions of pounds. At the same time, being more efficient, it would release land nearly the area of Scotland for biodiversity and tree planting to absorb carbon dioxide. He described it as a win-win situation, ending by saying, "The climate crisis can seem overwhelming, but rethinking what is on our plate is one of the most impactful things that individuals can do. We vote on it 3 times a day. We can start right now with our very next meal.
This letter came in from Jeffrey Brooking via email. Racist exposed in Reform. The news that Reform UK far-right racist mayoral candidate Dr. Chris Parry has doubled down on his call for David Lammy to go and live in the Caribbean simply provides how far-right racist activists like Dr. Chris Parry have got a grip on Reform UK. Nigel Farage has no plans to sack him. Richard Tice has refused to condemn him. Yet as this scandal continues, it is left to the likes of Anne Sawar to condemn Dr. Chris Parry's vile social media posts. They are now so bad that people are nowadays giving up on fellow racist Elon Musk's ex in their droves and switching to other social media platforms instead. Surely officials should have the right to strip far-right racists like Dr. Chris Parry of his Royal Navy titles and privileges too. As Reform UK milk this publicity, in the words of Anna Turley in the Mirror newspaper last weekend, Farage and Parry need to take a long, hard look at themselves because this endless ongoing scandal does nothing for the integrity of both politics and our civil service as a whole.